Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I remember growing up, my dad was a computer teacher. And he had these posters from Apple Computer that had their famous phrase on it, "Think different." Now I remember those posters because it had somebody who did something significant for our society through history, whatever it might be. In fact, I remember Amelia Earhart being on one, Picasso on another. I think another one was Gandhi, actually. But they all did something significant in human history. They created something or did something that they could do, that they had the gift to do. Well, in thinking about those posters, I've been thinking about our text for today from Genesis chapter 2 quite a bit. Because one of the things I thought about was that I want to make new posters. And on those posters is every single one of you. Instead of "think different," I want to put "created different." You see, in our text for today, we see man and woman created different. They have, well, different vocations, different physical attributes, whatever it might be. But they're different in some way, shape, or form. And not to be, you know, too forward with this, but I hate to tell you this. If you didn't know this before, men and women are different. They're different. They're different physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever it might be. You see, one of the things we can look at this difference, though, is that it is good. God created us different for a reason. Let's face it. I know I look like it, but I can't carry a child in my womb. I'm a guy. My wife had to carry our child for us in order for him to be born, because that's what she is physically capable of. She's different than I am. And that's okay, just as every single one of you is different. I know we live in a society where these differences, they're not celebrated. In fact, they're looked down upon. But you see, it's funny as the church, how only in the church can you be a unique person, because we understand vocation. We understand that we are created different for each other. Now, one of the point of our text is especially that man and woman are created different for each other, because they are created to get married. They are created to complement each other. In fact, marriage, first and foremost, plays a key factor for companionship. Even God says in verse 18, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." It is not good that the man should be alone. This is right after God has created Adam, where he has breathed through his nostrils the breath of life and made him in the image of God. And so he notices that all the animals, all the beasts of the field, all the birds flying in the sky, well, they have a mate. They are to be fruitful and multiply. But Adam had no one. He was alone. He was there to fend for himself. So what does God do? He takes the rib from the man and makes for the man a helper. Now, we can't get too hung up on the word helper here, as if to denote that woman is somehow subservient to man. Now, it is true that man is the head of the wife on this side of the fall, however. For you see, when man and woman were created, it was good. The relationship was perfect. There is nothing at fault here. There is nothing wrong. But also the word helper, it denotes that one will help the other. You know, my wife helps me and I help her, just as I'm sure it is for many of you. And it's not even just in marriage, but even in the workplace, men and women have different gifts. Some can do something that the other can't, and vice versa. The thing is, that is not something looked down upon. It's something to actually be celebrated. But if that companionship, we are not meant to feel lonely. In fact, God did not intend for people to feel lonely. This again is one of the reasons Eve was created for Adam. And so God created men and women to complement each other physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. My wife complements me in different ways. Or even women at the church, on the staff, wherever you work, probably compliments you in different ways because they have different gifts, different vocations, different roles. This is okay. We see each sex has different vocations assigned to them by God. In fact, every individual is to sacrifice themselves for the other person. But with all that said, this demonstrates just how truly special it is being a man or a woman, how truly special you are as one created by God. You see, God created you the way you are for a reason. He created you to be loved and to love others. Yes, as I said before, all creation is fallen now. It is fallen, it is corrupt. And the relationship between man and wife, husband, wife, man, woman, even between men and men and women is no longer good. It is tainted by sin. You see, after the fall, marriage, well, if you ask any married couple, you'll find out how often they probably are at each other's throats. They don't like each other all the time. And this is not something to just run away from. In fact, that marriage is going to be hard because it is upon that marriage that the devil is going to attack. Because even marriage itself was created to keep men and women from sinning sexually. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 this very thing. For you see, husband and wife are to desire one another and no one else. This is what the husband and wife are to strive for. This is a good thing. Yet this isn't always the case. Yes, they are created for each other. They complement each other, be it physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. But there is a time in which we need to stop and forgive each other. You see, through the fall, when sin came upon all of us, we were in need of something outside of ourselves, and that is forgiveness of God. You see, he has demonstrated that through Christ. Christ who came to deliver men and women different as they are. He has created them also the same in that they are his children. You see, even husband and wife need to live in the forgiveness and righteousness of Christ, which has been freely won for both of them, both men and women, in Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, this is God's goal for you. He forgives you so that you can forgive each other. Men and women are to forgive each other in order to live boldly in their life together, especially husband and wife. You see, when you live in the forgiveness of Christ, this gives you the ability to confess your sin to your spouse or whomever it might be, in order that you would forgive the other and be forgiven, because Christ does the same for you. For if Christ can forgive a murderer, a thief, if he can forgive those who were crucified with him, so much so does he for you and for those you come in contact with. You see, when you live in the forgiveness of Christ, you live a life boldly, have the ability to move forward. You see, this goes a long way in tending to every single relationship, even the one between husband and wife. You see, even God forgives the sin of adultery. He forgives stealing, he forgives murder, he forgives coveting, he forgives lying, he forgives bearing false witness. You see, he even forgives when we use his name in vain. See, that is the love of God for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, forgiving others goes a long way in tending to any relationship. In fact, I'm convinced that if those who were divorced were to first forgive each other before going through such a thing, that they would receive counseling, that they would go and seek advice, spiritual welfare outside of themselves, that they wouldn't seek such a thing. All because forgiveness gives us new beginnings day in, day out. And so you now are called to forgive each other. You are already forgiven by Christ. That is the reason you forgive. And the proof is in Jesus' actions of love on dying on the cross for your forgiveness. It is proof when he arose from the dead, where you were declared righteous in the sight of your Father. It is proven that every time the word is spoken for you, that you are forgiven, that you are God's child, that you have righteousness, salvation, eternal life already in him. See, this is God's will for you, to live in that forgiveness, that great vocation of forgiver, and, well, quite frankly, to be forgiven at the same time, to set aside our pride, even as men and women, especially in a society in which those philosophies don't mesh well together, you are still given hope. And so, with all of these differences, with the forgiveness of God as the forefront to every relationship out there, celebrate the differences. Yes, God created men and women differently, physically, emotionally, and mentally. There's no doubt about that. Ask anybody who is married. But celebrate those physical differences. Celebrate those emotional differences. Celebrate those mental differences. Because in the end, those differences, when they are combined together, well, they provide companionship. They provide where you are able to complement each other. You see, men and women have been created differently with different vocations assigned to them for the benefit of the other sex. You see, this is a good thing because God says it is a good thing. In fact, he tells us we can celebrate these differences as individuals, as unique individuals who have become a part of his church, who are his church. And so even in the workplace, look at celebrating those differences. Look at celebrating what God has made, what God has created, all for you and your benefit. And that is a good thing to remember. That all God does, all he created, all that he did through Christ was for your benefit, that you would live a life boldly on this earth and into eternity, where you will see him face to face, where all relationships, be it marriage or friendships or family, where all those things will be perfect. That is God's promise to you, and he keeps it through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And so now with the peace of God that does surpass all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds with Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen.